In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I have some exciting news for you today. The gospel had very exciting news. It's not easy news, but it becomes easy. So it's not something that is just you have it happen automatically. But most things in life that are worthwhile, everything in life that's worthwhile doesn't happen automatically. It happens with effort. But there's just great, exciting news at the bottom of the last reading for the epistles. We're reading it because of the martyrs Sergius and Bacchus, whom we celebrate today. We also celebrate St. Joan of Manchuria. And so we have a wealth of readings. We have six readings today. And the reading from Hebrews is the one about the ones who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and escaped the edge of the sword and wandered about in goatskins and sheepskins. The world was not worthy of them. We know this reading very, very well. It's read many times. The most exciting part is at the end, because it really relates to us very, very intimately and very personally. Now, you might not think yourselves worthy of, let's say, the prophet Isaiah, who was sawn in half, or Jeremiah, who was put in a pit of slime, or any of the great saints. All right. But St. Paul has a remedy for you. He says, and there's a lot in this phrase here. I don't know if we have time to unpack it all. It's really amazing. It's really the gospel story. Complete. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is the great news. Everything that besets you, all the sin that besets you, St. Paul says, lay it aside. Now, he says it easily besets you. So the inference there is that you're going to set it aside and you're going to pick it up again. And then you're going to set it aside and pick it up again. But the mindset in your heart should be, because of the great cloud of witnesses, I'm going to lay aside all that weight of sin. We all have it. We all have different things that beset us. Most of us, probably all of us, have multiple things that beset us. Repetitive things. Here is the solution. Now, I think mystically, St. Paul is referring to, or you can take his words to refer to, the prayer of Jesus. Because he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I think all of us, certainly myself, have been guilty of trying to do things on my own. Oh, I say I believe in God, and I ask God for help, but then I try to do things with my own efforts. Pray hard, or pray harder, or pray longer, or in struggle in some way that is really of my own abilities. But Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, some people will unfortunately misinterpret that and think that, well, you know, Jesus will take care of everything and I'm saved. That's not what it's saying. Jesus has begun a good work in you and he will complete it. That's what St. Paul told us in another place. So how do you apply these wonderful words to your life? Well, I'll tell you something, that I recently had a conversation with a young man who's gay and has decided that that's the way he is. He struggled against it for years. He prayed at night and woke up in the morning feeling the same way. And so he decided, well, this must be who I am. And since I believe in God, he even attended a seminary, then this must be God made me this way. And therefore, he's not struggling against it anymore. And he's actually telling people, this is the way it is. A good lad, but with a supreme misconception. Because he had a sin, which easily beset him, but he didn't lay it aside. Now, to lay it aside does not mean that you lay it aside forever, eventually, God willing, but we pick it up again. And he tried and he failed, and he tried and he failed. Now, this young man actually doesn't have the Orthodox Church as his belief. He went to some sort of Bible college. And so, in his understanding, he doesn't have the great cloud of witnesses as powerfully as we do. Look at, we have the saints all over the walls. We talk of them all the time. We hymn of them all the time. In all of our daily services, we mention them. We have a great veneration for the Mother of God, knowing that she knows about purity and can teach us by praying to her Son for us. So we have this great cloud of witnesses, this great awareness of the saints and of God moving through his people, his sinful people, who become pure and holy. And with this understanding, this deep understanding that is just part of our spiritual DNA, we have a sense of confidence. Because you cannot find a saint. You can find a saint for any circumstance. You can find someone who struggled with the very thing you struggle with. Do you struggle with anger? Do you struggle with lust, ignorance, laziness, jealousy? Any of those things? The saints struggle with those things too. And if you're accustomed to their lives, if you read their lives regularly, which is a very important thing, then you have a sense that you're compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses that say to you, I did it and so can you, because the one who helped me do it is Jesus Christ. And that same one is going to help you do it. He's going to start it and he's going to finish it. This is great and wonderful news. We live in an age where sin is talked about as not being sin. That doesn't help the person. You have to say, I'm going to lay aside this weight of sin. But when you take it back up again, you have to have a solution. The solution is to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I've been reading a book recently that I would recommend to all of you. It's truly an amazing book. The beginning is a biographical, and perhaps you could skip it, although it has great things in it. But towards the end, the last half, is basically theological conversation that is very simple, very profound, extremely dense and beautiful. And the book is called Wounded by Love by Elder Porphyrius. And this is a man who struggled all his life and came to this joy in Christ that the saints attain and was able to express it in words. The same as my namesake, Saint Seraphim. Many other saints did this. And what he recommends is something that I'm only barely beginning to understand. And even though I only barely understand it, I feel responsible for telling you about it too, because it's the key. Now, I can't really teach you about it, but then again, no one else can either, because God teaches us how to pray. And I'm speaking of the prayer of Jesus. Now, you can say the prayer of Jesus with sweat pouring off your forehead and with bows and prostrations and with a kind of a intensity in your heart of like as if you're running away from a lion. Or you can say it as Elder Porphyrius says. Like I said, I'm just beginning to understand this. Because I've said plenty of times like I was running away from a lion. He says, just pray it simply, saying the words, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. And believing that God will teach you and God will help you. So if you have sins that easily beset you, and I have a half dozen or so, at least, things that are recurrent in my life, problems that recur in my life, situations that I'm concerned about that I don't necessarily see a solution for. Therefore, I would be sinning by not having faith when I think of those situations. That's a constant theme. I pray the Jesus prayer, and just pray it simply. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Don't do all that sitting on a stool and trying to put your heart, descend into your heart and all these other technical things that are applicable for people who have really advanced in the prayer. Sometimes we read that stuff, maybe some of you guys have, and you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, then don't find out. You don't need to know. Just pray the Jesus prayer. It's very comforting. When I rise up in the morning, even before I get out of bed, going to bed, when something troubles me, when I'm upset, anxious, pray the Jesus prayer. Because it really will help you. And the reason why, theologically, is Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. This is not magic. There's no magic to praying the Jesus prayer or any prayer. Everything is by faith. Now there's sin which easily besets you. If you're honest with yourself, you could think of a few things right now that you just continually do, or perhaps things that you don't do that you should do. And it's really hard to figure out how to get going right. And then you get going right for a little while, and then you start going wrong again. It's the human condition. But it's not what we were born for. We might say that's human nature, but it's not. Human nature is to become like Christ. Jesus Christ is the epitome of human nature. He took on human nature and he fixed it. And he made it capable of becoming holy and pure and perfect. So, when we say this common phrase, I used to hear it all the time at home, we're only human, I'm only human, we're misusing it. We're not human yet, none of us. We're becoming human by becoming like Christ. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we pray to him simply. Now, are you going to be able to do it without any irritation, without any boredom, without any stray thoughts, without any anxiety? Maybe once in a while, maybe sometimes, but most of the time it's going to be pretty hard. But that's okay, because it'll get easier. You got to get past the fact that it's hard. I remember someone talking to me about law school. She said that the first year she thought she didn't know anything, like she was an absolute idiot. And then somehow it came together. She somehow got through the first year just like all of her other students did, and they all thought they were idiots too. And then it came together. Now, some people dropped out during the first year because they thought they were idiots. And that was a deep mistake because they really had the ability. They'd got into a prestigious law school. They weren't stupid, but it was just really hard at the beginning. And then it got easier. And that's a lot what Christianity is like. The Lord says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you believe him? I do. I hope you do too. But he didn't say life is easy. Life is hard because we don't take on that light burden. We take on other burdens which are really heavy. That weight and that sin that easily besets us that St. Paul talks about. And so, if we learn to give those burdens to Christ by praying simply, without expectation, without any visions, just say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Now, he recommends, Elder Porphyrius, I'm saying, to say, always, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me for everybody. So if you're praying for your family, you say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Well, he's reached a spiritual height that I don't quite understand, because for me, that's very difficult. So when I pray for someone, and I pray for all of you, I pray for you by name, or after, if I pray multiple times, then just, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy, with sort of you in my, not in my mind, but just sort of present. I don't know how to describe it, because I don't want to have a vision of you. I don't want to be thinking of you when I pray. I want to be thinking of God when I pray. But that works for me. And just personally, because I'm just very strange about distractions, and sometimes it's too many words for me, so I say, Lord Jesus, have mercy, quite often. And it kind of applies to everything and everybody. Try this. Try to pray the Jesus Prayer when you're going to work, when you're going to school, when you're doing the laundry, when you're irritated, when you're agitated, when you're upset about something, nervous, bored, lazy. Say the Jesus Prayer simply, and enormous things come out of it, enormous power. It's all based upon that Jesus is the author, the finisher of our faith, and that we have sin, which does easily beset us, but we can choose to lay it aside. You can make that choice. Now, I talked about that young man just a few minutes ago. He has not made that choice yet. Well, the world is giving him lots of opportunity not to make that choice because they're giving him false scientific information and they're telling him all this, and there's a whole kind of peer pressure to accept people as they are. What a silly thing to accept people as they are. Jesus Christ doesn't do that with any one of us. Jesus Christ is helping us to become what we should be. He accepts us, but not as we are. Do you accept your disobedient child as they are, or do you try to teach them to be obedient? Does a doctor accept someone who is sick as they are, or do they try to heal them? The world, it doesn't make any sense at all. We love people and wish for them and try to help them to achieve that which is good and healthy for them. Not unhealthy. Not deadly. And so, we have to make a choice for ourselves and also pray for our loved ones that they would make this choice too. That they would choose to lay aside their sins. Now, their sins might come back the next day, but they must make the choice. This is sin. I can't do it. I got to find a way not to do it. Or it's sinful that I don't do something and I got to find a way to do it. Like it's a sin that I don't pray and I got to learn to pray. And if you do this, God will help you. But you have to focus on Christ to do it. This is very good and wonderful news. Because it addresses us exactly where we are. And when you bring in the saints and seeing that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, it makes you feel less alone. I think the reason why we have such veneration for the saints is because, of course, Jesus is perfect and holy. He's God. And of course he could be without sin because he's God. And so he is far above us. And we need examples that are closer to us. We're all like that. Every single one of us. We need people that acknowledge that they go through some of the struggles we do. Many of us have been to school, you know, higher education, and even high school. And maybe we feel, golly, this is impossible. I just heard this lecture and I have no idea what's going on. And then someone, as we're leaving the classroom, says, I have no idea what he said. I can't understand that. And somehow you feel a little bit better that you're not the only one that's confused. That happens to us. The saints went through everything we went through. So we have them as a great cloud of witnesses. So let's have them, their witness, focus us on struggling against our sin. Don't pretend your sin is not sin. That's deadly. That's like pretending a snake is not poisonous and picking him up. It won't go well. It won't end well. Acknowledge your sin, but then Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith. Now, there's something that ties in from the gospel for today, the main gospel, the one from Luke about the widow of Nain. This ties in to believing and focusing, or as St. Paul says, looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. We know the story about the widow of Nain. We know that he saw a funeral procession, and he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. Those are profound words. Every time I read them, or say them, my heart feels warm. I feel great hope. Our Lord Jesus Christ, high above us, far above us, he touched the bier because he loves human nature. And they stood still. And that's very important. You gotta stand still. That's what the Jesus Prayer will help you do, is stand still. If you stand still, you can hear God. Now, not right away. You might not hear him for a long time. And you might think, well, this is not working. Oh, yeah, it is. You just have to continue to stand still, and then you can hear God. And have all things become more quiet. Not have so much noise in your head, in your heart, in your soul. And then the whisper that God tells to us, we will hear. By the way, God doesn't talk to us except in a whisper. He doesn't shout at us. So you must be quiet to hear him. Your soul must be quiet to hear him. And how can you be quiet? Learn to pray quietly. Learn to pray the Jesus Prayer. Oh, pray other things too. It all has to kind of fit in. If you just pray the Jesus Prayer, in our condition, we'll probably fall into some sort of error, prelest or something. Because the Jesus Prayer doesn't really, until you become very advanced and holy, doesn't stand on its own. That's why we have the other services, why we have the Psalter, which I recommend that you read so often, and also Gospels. And the services are full of all this theological commentary which percolates into us and helps us feel this certainty about God. It's all very important. So that's all important. But then in your home, or for that matter on the bus, on the train, when I was in New York, we had long periods on the train. It was very effective then. There's not much to do on the train except stand up for the most part. After all, it's Manhattan. It's pretty crowded. And say the Jesus Prayer. And there's a peace that kind of descends upon you when you do that. Try it. Try to stand still. And let God talk to you. It can happen. But like I said, theologically it's based upon that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if you truly believe that, that means there's some finishing to be done, right? What does finishing do? Well, it completes whatever you're doing. How do you finish painting something? Well, by finishing the painting, taking off the masking tape, making sure that any paint splotches are cleaned up. It takes a lot of time and effort to finish. So we go from a state that is not perfect to perfect. We're in that state now, all of us. A lot of sin, a lot of difficulties. Sometimes we don't have very good thoughts about ourselves or about others. A lot of stuff. It's all happening. It's all that muck, you know? But God can help you with it all. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So please, take my words to heart. Start saying the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. If you want to pray it for your family, I recommend it highly. You can say, if you know how to follow Elder Porphyrius's words, you can do that. I don't know how yet. You can say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, thinking of them. Or you can say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon Epraxia, or my wife, or my son. Try that. Get yourself a chotki. A little one is really good because you can use it in the car. Pray a rope for everybody that you care about. All right. Maybe you have to learn how to budget your time to do it. But if you try, you'll figure it out. Because after all, Jesus is going to be the one figuring it out for you. But you have to make that effort. I hope that you believe that this is the best news you can have. You have a way to change now. You have a way to become perfect. All you need to do is look at the great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset you, and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. It's really that simple. Simple's not easy, but it becomes easy. May God help you to obtain all this. Amen.